Hello and welcome to the check-in on KBIA, where we come together each weekday for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for checking in today. When it comes to issues arising from the coronavirus crisis that need to be aired out in this forum, our pets might not be the first priority, but yet they are important. And it seems like a lot of conversations right now involve our animals. How are they doing? Do our dogs and cats seem stressed out? What's happening with adoptions and fostering of animals these days? And what about all the wildlife, the fox cubs, coyotes, snakes that people seem to be spotting outside their windows? Is the wild encroaching on our space for some reason, or is it just that we're simply at home more and we've slowed down, so we're noticing nature? Today, it's Animal Day. We're going to be talking with experts from the Humane Society, from the American College of Animal Behaviorists, and the Deputy Director of the Missouri Department of Conservation. We've gathered together top professionals who can tell us what's going on with our animals right now. And we're all here for you. What questions do you have for our guests? Are you interested in fostering or adopting a pet right now, or wondering how the process is going? Is your pet acting strangely? You can bring your questions today, bring your stories to the table. First come, first served. And first up is Michelle Casey. Michelle is with the Central Missouri Humane Society. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us on the check-in today.
Thank you so much for having me. We're really excited to be participating.
Okay, well, tell me what you're taking in animals and finding them homes through all of this, even though your campus is closed and you're not able to host events right now. How's everything working during this time, and what workarounds have you found?
So we have been operating with limited services since the middle of March. Obviously, our top priority is the health and safety of our animals, our staff, and the community. So we've made some big changes to our operations. However, we have continued to take in stray animals and those in emergency situations. And we also developed a virtual adoption program to keep our adopters, fosters, and staff safe while continuing to place animals into homes.
Okay. How is that virtual adoption program going?
It's going really, really well. When all of this kind of happened at the beginning of March, we knew we wanted to get as many animals out of the shelter as possible. So we put out a plea for foster parents, and the response was absolutely overwhelming. In just 1 week, we received over 100 new foster home applications. And since we have been closed to the public, we have received over 220 new foster signups. And
wow.
That is just absolutely incredible.
That is. Why is that? What was going on with that? Is it people were at home and they decided this was a good time to foster an animal and they wanted the company?
I think so. That's what we heard from a lot of people, is that before they were just working too much, they felt they were away from home and they didn't have the time to dedicate to a pet.
Okay.
And there were some people who may not have even considered fostering before, and having the time home. And, you know, a lot of people had extra time, and you know, it's a very empathetic time. And putting out that plea, you know, we were just so so grateful to the community for really stepping up for our pets. So we were able to place almost all of our adoptable pets into foster homes. And we're hoping to continue in the next few weeks to have at least 90% of our adoptable pets stay in foster homes and be adopted directly from there.
All right. Let me just remind people, you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA, and we're talking with Michelle Casey from the Central Missouri Humane Society about the process of fostering and adoption and how that's going right now. We're also going to be talking with an animal behaviorist, Dr. Colleen Cook, here in a moment, and we'll have Aaron Jeffries from the Missouri Department of Conservation also during this program. Are you one of the people that Michelle's talking about that decided to foster? We'd love to hear from you and hear how it's going. Also, if you have questions about how the fostering is going and how to train your animal, work with your animal that you're fostering, a lot of fosters and rescues come with issues and challenges, and we'll have an animal behaviorist. Michelle, that sounds like a silver lining, having all of those pets fostered out and finding homes, which is incredible. Tell me any more that you want people to know about that, but also I'm just wondering, what challenges has this crisis brought for you all?
So it is certainly challenging. You know, there's great need in the community. There's quite a few people that are struggling financially. So the last thing that we want people to do is struggle to keep their pets because they don't have any money to support them or to feed them.
Yes.
So one service that we're continuing to offer is our community pet food bank. So this food bank is open to the public every single day. There is no income or residential restrictions. We are here to provide every resource we can to pet owners that are in need, especially during this time. So we actually received a large donation of pet food. The donation was made by Greater Good, which is a wonderful organization that has made millions of dollars of charitable donations. And we received 44 pallets of food, which totaled over 40,000 pounds. So we are housing a lot of that food here at the shelter, and the Boone County Fire Protection District has been amazing. They helped to house some of that food as well. So we are serving as a distribution center for Mid-Missouri, and we are providing pet owners in need all over Mid-Missouri with free pet food during this time. And we're also offering pet food to other shelters and rescues all around the state.
How can people find the pet food bank if they need it or if they want to donate something?
So anyone interested in making a donation can call the shelter at any time. There's a doorbell on the front door as the doors are going to remain locked, but they can ring the doorbell and they can drop donations off. We will happily take them while we continue to practice safe social distancing. Okay. And if anyone is interested in using the service with the food bank, they're welcome to call anytime. Otherwise, they can stop by any day, Monday through Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we'll just deliver the food directly to their car.
Fantastic. Michelle, good luck with this pet food bank. It sounds amazing. And everything else you're doing. Is there anything else you would like the community to know on how things are going with the Humane Society? Anything you need from the community or anything you're offering that you'd like people to know about?
Donations are fantastic, whether in-kind donations from our Amazon wish list. Also, as our volunteer program is currently suspended, we want to keep the public and the community engaged as much as possible. So if anyone does have time to become a foster parent, we certainly could continue to use those, especially for animals that may have some behavior issues, such as anxiety. We also are seeing some kittens come into the shelter now without their mothers, so we are definitely looking for foster parents who are interested in learning how to bottle feed kittens. That's going to be a great need that we have throughout the summer. So if anyone is interested in those specialized foster opportunities, I certainly encourage them to reach out to the shelter. Fostering is an incredibly rewarding experience, and it does so much for these animals in our care and just sets them up for success in the future.
All right. Michelle Casey with the Central Missouri Humane Society. Thank you so much. I have to actually say, Michelle, our producer, Christopher Husted, and I both teach in the journalism school, and we wanted to say thank you for the many times that you talk to our students, because your name and your voice appears in our student journalism projects so often. So,
oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to be a part of it. Sometimes I wonder if the teachers ever hear my name and get sick of hearing it. So I'm glad to hear that.
We don't get sick of it. And thank you for not getting sick of it. We really appreciate it. So yes, and Chris Husted also says never. Thank you very much. So, thank you so much, Michelle. And stay in touch with ways that people can get involved. Good luck with all you're doing there.
Thank you so much. And I hope you all are staying safe and healthy. And thank you so much for thinking about us.
Thank you. All right. That was Michelle Casey with the Central Missouri Humane Society talking about the pet food bank. And she says you can just drop off food if you have donations and if you need food for your pet. A lot of people are struggling right now. The last thing we want is for our pets to be struggling along with us. So that's what this program is about. But you can call the Central Missouri Humane Society if you need food for your pet. Michelle Casey says go ahead and give them a call. So now to the rest of our topic of the day. We're talking about animals. Again, you're listening to the Check-In on KBIA. Let's bring in two more guests into this discussion. Dr. Colleen Cook is a veterinary behaviorist with the Lincoln Land Animal Clinic in Jacksonville, Illinois. She's one of only about 86 board-certified animal behaviorists worldwide. She might be the only one with her training seeing animals here in Missouri. Dr. Cook, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It really is an honor.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to have you. And Aaron Jeffries also is the Deputy Director of the Missouri Department of Conservation. He's our consultant today for all things outdoors, animals, and otherwise. Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Thanks, Aaron. So let's start with you, Dr. Cook. You've worked with animals at Lincoln Land for a very long time, and you look at and deal with animals of all sizes. Your bio says you've always enjoyed working with animals labeled as difficult. What does that mean?
So typically a lot of people, you know, will say animals are bad, aggressive, mean, you know, there's all these labels. And those labels really aren't fair. There are assessments of them at in a moment interval there. And I've always, growing up, had animals that were off cast or nobody else wanted to deal with them and that kind of thing. So I labeled them as difficult, which is still a label. But those animals with problems are really basically communication issues. They're trying to tell us something, and we aren't necessarily able to listen. And so being able to communicate with them in what they're saying with their body and what their needs are and what their comfort level is helps us move to a different level of relationship and helps to build that trust and that bond that we all look for with our pets.
Okay, let me just remind listeners, you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA. We're talking about animals a lot today. What's going on with your pets? Are they acting differently in this crisis? Are you fostering an animal? We're talking with Dr. Colleen Cook, a veterinary behaviorist, one of the not so many board-certified animal behaviorists in the world, and maybe the only one near us. Do you have a question for Dr. Cook about the behavior of your pet right now? We're also talking with Aaron Jeffries with the Missouri Department of Conservation. You can join our discussion. Let us know what you're seeing outside your window. Are you seeing more wildlife around these days? Are you getting out more or just at home more? And what are you seeing? Dr. Cook, is this crisis having an impact that you're seeing in your practice on animals and on pets?
It certainly is. For one thing, a lot of animals, while we're gone at work, tend to rest and relax. So I think there are a lot of pets that are sleep deprived because they're going on more walks than they have ever gone on before. They're getting a lot more attention. And just like people, there are some pets that even when you're gregarious and you love your owner and want to be with them, sometimes you just don't want to be patted on the head one more time or have your belly rubbed one more time, and you just want some me time. And so I think that there are, I know for currently I only see animals with behavior problems, and there has certainly been an uptick in my patients with their owners home because they are, that is one of their times that most of them can rest. So, and then I think that the owner's anxiety too, with the uncertainty of what's going on and their fears and anxieties, also create, again, that home environment that is just a lot more anxious for them, which is disruptive. Animals also really, really thrive on consistency, and right now none of our lives are consistent. So that lack of consistency certainly increases everybody's anxiety level, right? Nobody knows when they're going to be able to go out again or who they're going to be able to see. And I think that creates a lot of stress for everybody.
Right. So the consistency, the change in routine can also be a little stressful for our animals. What can we do if we notice our animals are anxious or acting differently? What are some strategies you would suggest with people?
So, good question. I have tried, and I encourage all my patients and clients to try to maintain a similar type schedule that they did when they were working. So while you might want to walk 100 times a day because you can't stand being confined, if your dog is only used to going for 2 or 3 walks a day, try to keep that consistent. Try to keep their routine as consistent as possible. It's okay for you to go out and power walk without your dog. And that way, when you do return to work, your dog, who is now used to 10 walks a day, doesn't have to go back down to those 3 walks a day. If you are fostering one of those pets from the Humane Society and you do return to work, mimicking that schedule of your work schedule now is going to be really, really helpful. And the same thing with when you get a new, if you have adopted a new puppy, the same thing. Try to maintain that future schedule so that you can help that pet adjust and it's not so abrupt of a change later on.
Okay, let me remind listeners that you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA. We're talking with veterinary behaviorist Dr. Colleen Cook about how our animals are doing right now. Are you walking your dog more? Are you trying to keep it consistent? Are you fostering an animal right now? Do you have questions for Dr. Cook? Are you having challenges? She'd be happy to take your questions directly, give you advice, free advice here. We're also bringing in Aaron Jeffries with the Missouri Department of Conservation to talk about what's going on outside on our walks and what wildlife we're seeing right now. 573-882-9136. Let us know what's going on with you inside with your pets and outside on your walks. Aaron, let me just bring you into this discussion. We had wanted to talk about animals with you, and you said, you know, a big part of it is that we're just home. What's going on? I feel like a lot of people I'm running into are talking with amazement about the things they're seeing on their deck, in their backyard, on their walks. Is it just that we're getting out more, and is this having any kind of impact on wildlife out there?
Yeah, I really do think it's just that we're slowing down. More time with family, and we're starting to pay attention to what's around us and realize how important nature, the outdoors, is to our life, to our health. And we've seen that on our conservation areas, our nature center trails. Even though our nature centers are closed, we still have a lot of people out walking. I've taken the opportunity here in Jefferson City to go walk at Runge Nature Center just to observe people, to see how many people and make sure everybody was practicing social distancing and just amazed by the number of people that are coming out just to walk, to bird watch. We've seen an increase in people that are taking up bird watching. But to me, it's this, we're all getting back to the basics.
Yes.
I've always said, I've tried to make a lemonade out of a lemon here and spend more time with family, spend more time outdoors. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now.
It is a huge thing that this is something that we can do right now, and you have to kind of grasp the things that you can and the things that are good. And one of those things are our trails and our walks. What would you recommend that people at home and getting out there in Missouri, what should we look for outside our windows and out on our walks?
Well, you know, at this time of the year, the best thing you can do is put up a hummingbird feeder or a bird feeder and just watch the songbirds. And there's a lot of apps out there that can help with bird identification. You know, that's a great activity for young kids to take up. They learn patience. They learn how to use a field guide. That's one of the things. We also have a lot of information online about places you can go. Where there's trails or bike trails close to your home or where conservation areas may be. And we also have a wealth of education materials online. We've actually seen a huge increase in the number of hits that we've had on our public website the past month and a half. But, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, it's, you know, it's just amazing how people get a little bit of downtime and they start to reconnect with nature, stuff that they haven't been able to do for quite some time because the soccer games have been canceled, the baseball's been canceled. So they're looking for something to do, and they're going back to nature.
Well, and that sounds like a really smart idea, is getting onto the MDC website, getting some of those activities and information that you can share with kids and families and really turn this, with school being online, there's really nothing more educational, is there? So what would you recommend that people, can you give us a little more info, Aaron, about what you'd recommend people do if you've got kids or people of all ages? I've got a college student and a high school senior at home, and it's a good idea for us to get out on the Audubon Trail, I think, and look for certain things. Will we find some good resources at MDC for that?
Yeah, we have some. If you go to our webpage, our Discover Nature School program has several online booklets that you can download onto a tablet. We have field guide identifiers on our webpage as well. But those are the main things. But you can also call any department office because we still have staff working at the office and we can help answer your questions. You can send our ombudsman a picture of a snake or bird that you saw, and she will work to get that identified. for you if you're unable to identify it yourself.
Okay, sounds great. Let me just remind people, you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA. We're talking about animals inside and outside our houses. Are you getting out more, walking? What are you seeing that you'd like to share with us? We'd love to hear your stories. What's coming up in your backyard now that you're home? What are you noticing about nature? Have you gotten some MDC materials or gotten out with your family and you're turning this into an educational experience? Outdoors school experience right now, which sounds like a fantastic idea. Let us know. Dr. Cook, wanted to go back to you with this question about returning to work. There could be a concern with people as we reopen, if we get back to work and if our schedules change, that lack of consistency might be a challenge, even though that's maybe a few months away for many people. What would your advice be about that change in schedule and how to make sure that the consistency is maintained with our indoor animals?
That's a really good question. And so there are some people that say you can create separation anxiety in some of these patients that have, or these animals that have had access to their human for 24/7 for who knows how many months this will end up being. I really feel like anxiety, and it's supported in the literature, that it is part of our makeup. So those animals that are going to have more separation-related problems already probably have some anxiety issues to start with. And so those are the ones that we're going to really want to be focusing on. However, just like any of us, you know, any kind of abrupt change in our schedule can create problems. Again, so creating that consistency, looking forward to what your job is going to entail, how long you might be gone for, and start practicing with your animals, just to maintain that routine that you had before as much as possible. Not to say that you can't take an extra long lunch break when you're at home, or go into your virtual work a little bit late by taking your dog for a longer walk than normal, but try to mimic what life is going to look like after or when the new normal occurs is really going to help them out. And then certainly if you see signs of anxiety, contact your veterinarian, and they should be able to help you out, or you're always welcome to schedule a consult for me to help with the animal. It's just me, so if everybody is having problems, that's going to be a big problem. But hopefully we can mitigate that by, again, keeping to a schedule.
All right. Let me just say, we are talking with Dr. Colleen Cook, a veterinary behaviorist, and we're talking with Aaron Jeffries with the Missouri Department of Conservation about our animals inside our and outside our households. We've just got a few more minutes, but we could fit your call in if you want to join the discussion. A question for both of you. A lot of us are taking our pets out into some of these wilder spaces and adventuring with them. Anything from both of you? I'll start with you first, Colleen, but then I also want to hear from Aaron. You know, how we should prepare when we're taking our pets, anything we should keep in mind when we're taking our pets outdoors, and particularly diseases or ticks and things that we should keep an eye out for. Colleen?
Well, I am very into nature, too. I live out in the country. But I will say that keep your dog on leash. Mm. One, there's birds nesting, and we don't want to create problems for the wildlife. Certainly making sure that you have good tick protection on board and flea medication, those are all going to be really, really helpful in preventing disease transmission. But also, there are a lot of people that are taking their dogs out that are afraid of other dogs, and your dog, while it might be friendly, could really hurt another dog that is maybe not so friendly, or your friendly dog could get very hurt. So maintain it. And by the way, that if your dog is greeting another dog, you are not maintaining social distance. So making sure that everybody stays safe, because while the trails are lovely, one of the biggest complaints that I've heard is that there are some places that they're just not very wide, and it makes it difficult to pass if you have a dog. So make sure you keep them on leash, make sure you have their protection, lots of water. Try to go during times that aren't so busy. If you see a lot of people, just find another place to walk and go. But certainly enjoy nature. I think that's one of the biggest blessings of all of this.
Okay, yes, great advice. Erin, what do you have to add to that about how people are behaving with their animals, taking them out onto these trails? What do you suggest?
Yeah, I think Colleen really hit on it. I would also just want to add that I would encourage folks to check with the rules, whether it's a city, county, a state park, or a department. For example, we don't allow dogs on leashes at our nature center on the trails because they are incredibly busy. So you need to check on that. If it is allowed, please keep them on a leash for the dog safety, other dog safety, people's safety, as well as the wildlife are out there as well.
All right. And we have to wrap up, sadly. Now we could keep going for a long time. But Erin, I don't want you to get away without asking you know, what do you recommend that people do this weekend? We've got with the reopening, we have some things opening up that had been closed, but a lot of trails and parks are available. What do you recommend here in mid-Missouri we check out?
Oh, my gosh.
I know it's hard to choose.
Outside, you can go fishing, bird watching, canoeing, hiking, mountain biking. I mean, it's the last weekend of turkey season. The list just goes on and on. We are so blessed with so many resources here in Missouri because people have given us the opportunity to provide and take care of those resources. So get outside and enjoy the great Missouri outdoors.
All right. That's great advice. And just that list you just reeled off, Erin, is really therapeutic for us all on a Friday. Those are things that we can do. Those are things that are available to us. And Dr. Colleen Cook, thank you so much for joining us on the check-in today as well with your advice for our animals. Thanks so much for the therapy session. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Colleen. And thank you so much, Erin Jeffries, for being with us today.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks to both of you. That's it for today's check-in. Thanks also to Michelle Casey, as well as Dr. Colleen Cook and Erin Jeffries for joining us. Thank you for checking in with us today. Again, if you're listening and needing help, you can always call 211. The United Way of Missouri is there to help. You can also go to comohelps.org. If you have online access, you can donate money there to relief efforts throughout mid-Missouri. You can also get help there. And as Michelle Casey mentioned, there's a pet food bank. If you're struggling and don't want your pet to be struggling with pet food, you can just call the Central Missouri Humane Society, figure out how to get some food for your pet. If you're needing some help, you can also drop off some food by ringing the bell there at the CMHS. The check-in's produced by Christopher Husted and me, with KBIA News Director Ryan Famuliner, Zia Kelly, Madison Conti, and Hannah France. They're an amazing team. Also, a shout-out to our engineer, Mark Johnson, who really keeps us going by remote here, just like the team at 1A. And have a great Friday. Happy Mother's Day this Sunday. We'll be back here to check in. On Monday, we'll be joined by Columbia Mayor Brian Treese to talk about reopening and how things are going from the City Hall's vantage point. Until then, I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.